Cape Talk, Car Talk.
And we are back to motoring news after a very informative conversation earlier with Wendy Nola about the safety of cars. For the first part of the motoring segment, we're going to talk about the comfort of cars. Chira de Siena of cars.co.za standing by to answer your questions. Just a reminder, please not to ask us for a valuation of your vehicle. For that, we will direct you to cars.co.za for some comparisons. But any other question is welcome on 021-446-0567. You can also send an SMS to 31567. Leave a voice note on WhatsApp or tweet us at Cape Talk. And it was a tweet that got me laughing this week because Chiro tweeted a picture of a very fancy looking car with a comment that it was the most uncomfortable vehicle he had ever driven. Chiro de Siena, welcome back. Always great to have you with us.
Thanks, Pippa. Good to chat.
I had a real chuckle because it looked like such a swanky car that you would expect to have everything from heated seats to comfortable leg room and more. But Chiro, what was it and what was so uncomfortable about it?
So it was the very limited edition BMW M4 DTM Championship Edition, to give it its full name. Well, and it was essentially a race car.
Okay.
I mean, I think basically what they did was take a race car, put some indicators on it, stick a radio in, and put it on sale.
Okay.
So, and racing is just not a comfortable pastime. It's a bit like being beaten up mildly every time you go around a corner. It's just unbelievably firm suspension, rock solid suspension, but also the seats, you know, to keep the weight down in the car, it's all about keeping the weight down.
Mm.
The seats are made of carbon fiber. They're one piece. They're extremely thin, just, you know, sort of one tiny layer of foam. And they're non-adjustable. The only thing you can do is go forward and back. So if you're too short to see over the steering wheel, well, you'll need a copy of the Yellow Pages. And if you'd like the backrest to recline a bit, well, tough.
it was
an unbelievably hardcore car, probably the most hardcore car I've ever driven on the road. But it's almost to the point where it was unusable. And I know that a lot of people really like that in their car. But if you're looking for a track focused car that can't really be used on the road, then the M4 DTM can be yours for 2.3 million rand.
I'll pass if you don't mind, Chiro. I'd rather invest in a comfortable car. let's flip the question over. What would you say is the most comfortable car you've ever driven?
Ah, that's a good one. I mean, the Mercs are always very good. You know, the big S-classes. They have incredible technology, which sort of scans the road ahead, sets the suspension up for bumps. It's got air suspension. The seats have massage functionality as well. It kind of hugs you around corners, you know, to sort of keep you in place. The Mercs seem to get it really, really right. In terms of ride quality, there's absolutely nothing to beat a Rolls-Royce.
Oof.
It really does give you that very cliched magic carpet feel.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, even in the realms of normal cars that cost normal amounts of money, things are just getting better and better. I drove a Peugeot the other day, the new 3008 SUV, and I thought that was one of the best cars I've driven probably all year, probably in 2 years, actually. Really comfortable, really quiet. You know, a lot of a car's sort of comfortableness, so to speak, also comes from the amount of noise that gets into the cabin, you know, noise from the tires, wind noise, engine noise. And in the sort of industry, it's referred to as NVH, noise, vibration, and harshness. And manufacturers work really, really hard to dial all of that out. And some manufacturers do it better than others. And funnily enough, Peugeot, I think, is really winning at the moment on that front.
Interesting comment. Okay, thanks so much for the feedback there. We're taking your calls for Chiro on 021-446-0567. You can also send an SMS to 31567 or tweet us at Cape Talk. Bruce was listening to the conversation last week, Chiro, and sent a follow-up question asking whether an OEM can void your warranty if you use a different brand of oil, even if it has the same viscosity and spec. So just for those who might have missed last week's conversation, why don't you start by reminding us what an OEM is, Chiro?
Sure, yeah. Original equipment manufacturer generally refers to the car makers themselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Bruce's comment about the oil, what do you think?
The brand of oil, I've never heard of that being an issue. I mean, on your very, very high performance cars, they might stipulate, right, you can only literally put this oil in the engine. However, on your lower end cars, I think as long as the oil is the same spec, I think you should be fine. But in these cases, you know, every manufacturer is different. Every warranty is different. So it really is worth just reading up on the warranty that you've signed and making sure that you know what parameters you're working in.
Okay, and read the fine print. Thanks for the question, Bruce. Let's go to the lines, and it's not often I get to say we have a caller on the line from Mpumalanga, but Fred is listening to us via the streaming from there. Fred, a particularly warm welcome to the show this afternoon.
Thanks very much indeed, Pippa. A question for Chiro is, yeah. I have a 2009 Toyota Corolla D4D 2-litre diesel. Mm-hmm. It's got 350,000 kilometres in the clock.
Goodness me.
Do I keep it or do I sell it?
Ah, this is my favorite question that we get on the show. it's extremely tricky. I think a question came in last week that was very similar. Someone had a 10-year-old Subaru Forester also asking if they should keep it. The reason it is tricky is just that cars have this wonderfully unique ability to be temperamental. You know, to be absolutely fine one day and have major problems the next. So, you know, deciding whether to keep a car sort of that age with that mileage requires a certain amount of sort of crystal ball gazing. That being said, if the history of the car so far has been that it has been looking after you and it hasn't been terribly problematic, I don't see why you shouldn't keep it. How's the service history on the car?
Look, I've had the car from day one, and it's been serviced religiously every 15,000 kilometres. A few niggles here or there, but nothing major.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, in that case, I don't see why you would get rid of it. I mean, the reality is that with such high mileage, the value of the car is going to be very low. So your trade-in on it is going to be very low. Selling it privately, you'll get a little bit more money. But I think it's going to be quite hard to replace what you have for the amount that you're going to trade it in for. You'd have to chip in a fair bit more. Yeah. So even just to replace the exact same model, you know, I think these days a diesel Corolla is close on 300,000 rand, if memory serves. Yeah, and I'm not sure if you've got any trade-in values on your car, but I would suspect it would be less than 100,000 at this point.
It's closer to 80. Because of the mileage.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like I said, very, very difficult to predict. You know, whether it'll keep going right. To use Toyota's old marketing phrase, but by the sounds of things, I think you're in fairly safe hands there with that old Corolla.
Fred, it was great to have you with us. Thanks for listening all the way from Mpumalanga, and hope that car continues to give you happiness and pleasure in the driving. Let's hope that it avoids that temperamental switchover for a bit longer that Chiro mentioned. Thanks for the call. Right, Jonathan has been waiting patiently on the line from Belleville with a question. Jonathan, good afternoon.
Hi, yes, Chiro. Thanks, Pippa.
Sure.
I'm meaning to make a purchase for a family car. And my wife has received some inheritance, so looking at about 100,000 rand, that kind of price tag. But not sure if brand new or secondhand, you know, a year or two old is a good way to go. And wanted your thoughts. And then also thinking, is diesel something to consider? Because, I travel approximately, a round trip of about 80 kilometers every day to and from work.
And when you say family car, I mean, is it for one child, two children?
Two children, and yeah, that's all.
Okay,
so, weekends away, you know, as well. Kind of, you know, when you go, you've got to pack in some suitcases and things like that.
Okay, so, and the 100,000 rand is the budget?
That's it, yes.
Okay, so at that price point, I wouldn't go for anything diesel. You're gonna have to look at something like, if you really wanted a diesel, maybe something like a Ford Figo or Ford Fiesta secondhand, which you might get at around that price point. So I would definitely stay petrol, and you could look at something like a used Suzuki Ertiga, possibly a Honda Mobilio, or possibly a Toyota Avanza. Those will give you a good mix of boot space, interior space, rear seating space, and you might have to stretch a little bit. If you can stretch to sort of 110, 120, you'll get a better second-hand model.
Okay, fantastic.
Jonathan, thanks for your call, and best of luck with the purchase, whatever you decide. I hope you find something suitable within the price range. We can take one or two more calls on 021-446-0567. In the meantime, a WhatsApp asking what you think, Chira, of the Fiat 500X 1400.
Sorry, Pepe, you broke up a little bit there.
A WhatsApp asking your views on the Fiat 500X 1400.
The 500X. It's been discontinued as far as I'm aware. So that is something to keep in mind. I'm a little bit nervous about what that car is going to be like to maintain going into the future. So it just feels like when a car is not on sale anymore, you know, the manufacturer might not be that interested in sort of, you know, maintaining a really good parts warehouse for it. So definitely keep that in mind. As a product, though, I always thought the 500X was quite underrated. It's built on the same chassis with the same engines as the Jeep, the small Jeep. Oh, its name escapes me. It's a very, very decent product, in my opinion, but I do think the backup's going to be an issue.
Okay, thanks for the feedback. And then Jared is looking to buy a second-hand Bucky. He sent us a WhatsApp trying to decide between an Isuzu KB300 automatic, a KB300 manual 4x4, and a Hilux 3.0 automatic 4x4, all of them more or less in the same price range. And he's asking your view on pros and cons on those vehicles.
So, I mean, both vehicles really great reputations for reliability. I don't think there's any particular issues there. In my experience, the Isuzus tend to be quite uncomfortable. They're quite sort of workhorse-like vehicles. So if it was a car I was using every day, I'd probably go for the Toyota. And that being said, I suppose just the, you know, all the usual things that when you're looking for a second-hand car, try get the youngest car that you can with the least mileage. And I suppose within those parameters, you should be okay.
Okay. One last question from Kevin, taking us back to where we started the show today on safety features. Is it possible to retrofit safety features to an older car?
No. I mean, particularly with airbags, you know, the cavities for the airbags would have had to be, and the wiring looms for the airbag would have had to be engineered into the car in the first place. Things like ESP, electronic stability program, also has to be put in at the point of manufacture as well. So unfortunately, if you are driving sort of 10, 20-year-old car, you're sort of stuck with what you've got.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, there might be slight little changes you can do, but nothing, I think, which is going to make an overall impact on the safety of the vehicle.
Okay, Chira, that's where we must leave it for today. Thanks, as always, for being with us. Chira de Siena of cars.co.za.